Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes we get guests on our shows that resonate. Well, Nick Friedell resonated in a different way. Because he said, and again, tonight is draft night in the NBA. We're down here at State Farm Arena getting you ready for the Hawks draft. They do have pick 13. We traded pick 22 away in the Porzingis deal. We'll talk to the general manager later on this hour in Anse Sala. But he basically said, look, I don't think the Hawks are able to win with Trey, and it'd be smart if this team, you know, and this organization moved on. Many of you don't like the idea of what he had to say, including In Pursuit of Excellence. That's his Twitter handle.
Right.
Get this dude off my radio. Trey took us to the Eastern Conference Finals and would have beaten Giannis if he hadn't gotten hurt. Yes, I'm triggered. I'm a Hawks fan. Okay.
From Phil of Decatur, whoever that guy is, I will never listen to him again about anything. Especially not ever having heard of him before.
I never heard of him.
So, I mean, as we said, man, it's always polarizing. There's folks out there that live in Atlanta that feel this way. I mean, black, white, green, brown, old Hawks fans, young Hawks fans. Some guys vibe Trey. Some guys feel, as I feel, that, you know, there's somehow in the middle, you know, Travis Schlenk was trying to build his version of Golden State. And you never got a splash brother for Trey. You never had that guy. Bogey wasn't that guy. You know, you had guys that could shoot. We had Gallinari. We had a good bench in 21. And then the ownership decided we didn't want to spend on anything. You know, so then, you know, that's not Trey's fault. You know, you and I called out Trey for, you know, being more of an adult. You know, I didn't like the fact when Nick gets fired, Trey doesn't even call or reach out. That was one of the things that we discussed. Trey's miles down the road from that. Trey's mature. We've talked to his dad about it. We'd love to talk to Trey about it someday. But to me, you've never given Trey anything close to what is there. Because, no, can Trey be Steph Curry? No. Steph Curry is a once-in-a-generational player.
Right.
But there are elements to what you had at Golden State that Trey's never gotten that made Steph Curry who he is.
Yeah.
In my mind.
No, look, I am torn on this when we talk about, you know, the ultimate goal. Because it's not Eastern Conference Finals, guys. It's a chip. It's an NBA title. And you know, the thing about Trey, Nick Friedell, who came on, he's an Odyssey NBA insider. He's covered the league for a long time. And look, we can joke about, you know, you don't know who he is. A lot of these guys have been around the league a long time. They have a lot of contacts. And certainly, you know, they know what they're talking about. I just feel like his example, okay, you can go back and listen to the interview and rewind it on the Odyssey app. I asked him, who's better off now that they've made a deal, right? Orlando went and got Desmond Bane, and we went and got Porzingis. Right. And he said, I'd still go with Orlando. One, because Paolo Banchero is a better player. He's not as many years in the league as Trey, guys. But when you talk about his ability to change the game and all the things he can do, it's hard for me to sit here and disagree, even though I love Trey and what he brings. You saw it in the playoffs. If you didn't watch, Orlando's coming. I've been saying this. You know why Detroit's coming? Because Cade Cunningham is 6'9 and can do all the things. There is a fundamental difference when you start talking about these guys and why their teams are being elevated and why we're still kind of here and going, well, what's going on? Well, he doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. Either way, Mike, I'm torn because I do think Trey is a very good player. Here's where I'm torn. Is he an A or a B? If you had another legit, and I'm not talking about Porzingis, another legitimate star where Trey didn't have to do all the things, would this look different and feel different?
Right. But you brought DeJounte Murray in before, guys, give me that on the text line. That was a stupidly, poorly executed and a bad fit from the jump. And part of that was Trey never acquiesced. Trey may have said to Nate McMillan, hey, I'll work without the ball. That sounds good. And he never wanted to do it. He's a ball. You said it when it went down. Two ball dominant guards cannot coexist. Had you gotten a true pick and roll piece, other elements for him, that's what we needed. They saw him get double teamed against Miami in that playoff, and they overreacted with DeJounte Murray. Schlenk would never sign off on it. The other thing, you brought this up last year, the size. Trey can't defend. Now, I know Jalen Brunson's not a great defender, but he defends more than Trey.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he's
this is
thicker. He's a thicker version.
He's a thicker body.
Yeah.
And so the other thing with it, and you mentioned, you know, you talked about Banchero. Banchero's got Wagner. Now they got Bane. We don't have two guys
shooters.
Right now. Yes, and that's the thing. Banchero can pop out. I know Orlando shoots less threes, but he's capable of it. You've seen it. We don't have that guy. Now we have a guy in Porzingis, but a lot of folks look back to it. Outside Atlanta, look at what Nick Friedell said, and I will say, as we said to Nick, some of you guys are too close to it. But I do also agree Trey has never, ever had the kind of support from this ownership group that he truly deserves. And when they did, they completely misfired with Murray.
Yeah, and that's why I'm torn. That's why it's not black or white for me when we talk about this. And it is easy for me to sit here and say, oh, well, Dukes, you want to trade him? Nah, I do have to look at everything on the table. If somebody's going to come and give us an incredible package and we're going to get another star in return, I got to look at that. But that doesn't mean that I make the deal. And this is where I think Anse Sala is, Mike. When you start looking in the face 2 years down the road and you're saying we're about to drop all this coin, where is our lot in life? Where are we when it comes to our team in the Eastern Conference? You better know you're a contender if you're going to invest that kind of money.
But this goes back to it. I mean, for instance, 2021, right? Some guys to this day outside Atlanta go, well, the year after COVID, not everybody. Well, I don't want to hear about that.
I don't either.
That's bull. LeBron got a ring for the games that nobody watched inside the bubble. So a championship's a championship, okay? There's the Dodgers got a ring. I mean, like, you get a ring for that 2020, right? Last time I checked, right? And we could have had one with the Braves. So point I'm getting to is, after you got to that height, we were fifth overall that year, fifth place. We go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Put money into the team, okay? If you want to strip some pieces, okay, package Gallinari and get an upgrade. You know, and they never did that. And then we just summarily went backwards. So that's the beef I have with this ownership group is you've never built on the success. Because Trey sure enough looked like one of the top five players on the freaking planet, beating the Knicks and beating the Sixers and going into Milwaukee and putting, 40 on those guys.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. And look, this is part of our issue and why Trey has not had the success over the last few years. And this is just basketball. They're running people at him, and they're taking the ball out of his hands, and they're forcing other people to score. And I want you to go look at these Hawks teams over the last couple of years. He's playing with Mike, I did a game in Indiana. There were five G League players on the floor.
Right.
Five.
Right.
Guys that would not see time in a normal circumstance or situation. I don't care who you are. Trey's not winning with that. So when we talk about why he hasn't excelled and you want to criticize him, I would tell you hold on because a lot of these teams, and it's just smart basketball, guess what? He ain't beating us. We're going to run two guys at him. Trey's going to pass the ball and make the right play, and you got to make shots. You got to have playmakers. This is why Jalen was so important on the floor last year when we saw him because he could do that, and Jalen would go to the basket and dunk on somebody. You'd be like, oh, he could do those things. You saw guys last year that you were like, okay, Richache, he's got that ability. He's going to come into his own. But he hasn't had that over the last few years. And so if I'm playing the Hawks on any given night, Mike, I'm like, he's not beating us.
Right.
He's still going to get his 20, but he's not going to beat us.
Who else is going to step up? Also part of that last couple of years, the inconsistency of John Collins. He could never hit the perimeter jump shot consistently. You know, as far as trying to stretch the court, get what you want. Think about DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter would go 8 minutes without scoring a basket. You know, I mean, the turnovers, and he was supposed to, that's a top five pick.
You're right.
You know, and that was on Schlenk. You know, I can't blame all this on Landry Fields and subsequent, you know, ownership changes as far as the general manager's office, but a lot of the audience also feels this way. For Mark, following us on Twitter, Carl, love Trey and appreciate what he's done here, but there's no way in hell that our owner extends him for over $300 million.
Well, that's a
zero chance.
Well, I agree. I don't think it happens either. But if you're telling me you are committed and you're building around him and these next few years, this offseason and next year, guys, we may have more money than anybody in the NBA to spend. I know you guys don't want to hear that. I'm just telling you right now. All these cost-cutting
moves. But it's like the Falcons or the playoffs. How many more years can I go without doing anything?
That's right. And so you're going to say, hey, what does that mean? Are you now going after the top-tier free agent available? We'll wait to see. Lots of interesting thoughts from you guys about that conversation with our buddy Nick Friedell. Hey, right now, though, we got to talk some dogs. As Kirby likes to say, go dogs. They do it again, and they continue to sign Georgia boys. Today, Mike, they get a four-star running back out of Colquitt County, and he's a good one. One of the top backs in the country.
Jay Lamar from down Rakoff's country, Colquitt County. Yeah, man, he's 4-star, and a year ago he wasn't really – yeah, I guess he hit his growth spurt. Either way, this dude is considered a stud. So, Georgia, I mean, we talked about taking it for granted. You're going to be tailback you, but to get another guy in the pipeline, Jay Lamar from Colquitt County, he's coming. Yesterday we got the news, and this guy, he's only a 3-star, but the size is what really impresses you. Corey Howard is a 6'5.5", 265 defensive end from Valdosta, and you beat out the Gators. So Billy Napier and his guys are coming after him, and he decides to go to Athens with Kirby.
And look, I've always said you got to win in state. You can go just recruit the state of Georgia and be great. You don't have to go out of the state. We know Georgia does because there are great players all over the country. And now the way that college football is, it's not regional anymore. We know that. You get kids out of California, Texas, wherever. But he is winning the state, Mike, when you talk about these high schools, the best players in those high schools, and being able to pull those kids out. It's one of the reasons why the program is going to continue to thrive. And when you do that, guess what? The interest in the state remains because right. You got moms and dads and uncles and grandpas and grandmas who care because my son or my nephew's there.
Right.
That stuff still plays. That's old school football, but that stuff still matters. And it doesn't matter if you're playing across the country or not. So Kirby's continuing to do a great job of that.
Hottest seat in the country in a big conference right now. This comes from Saturday Down South. They say, unfortunately, it's Mark Stoops. But they think he can save his job.
Really? Schedule.
Yeah. Now, again, for those who don't know, I don't want to put your business on the street, but, you know, your daughter goes to Kentucky.
So yes, she does.
Familiar with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, he's been able to stick with – he's one of the longest tenured coaches, just one of 19 coaches in SEC football history to stick with one program for 12 years plus.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, it's the returns are going south after winning 10 games in Kentucky is like winning a national championship.
Well, here's the thing, too. He's trying to live by the portal, and that's the other part of this. They're getting a lot of transfer kids, a lot of NIL kids. Not NIL, should I say, but the portal kids. And it's Mike, it's not working. I thought Stoops should have gave it up 2 years ago, and then we talked about this. He got offered the A&M job and turned it down. Mistake. Because there's a time to come and there's a time to go. I think his time is gone. If they don't start out great, and there's a chance they might not, it wouldn't surprise me if they fire him. Mark Pope comes in, does a terrific job after all the kids that were with Coach Cal leave and go to Arkansas.
Right.
And he knew that was going to happen. And Kentucky basketball was still relevant this year. They're going to be even better next year. There's no reason Mark Stoops should be in purgatory like he is. It's just terrible.
The buyout, by the way, it's a big buyout. $37.5 million if they fire him after the 2025 season. Vegas has the over-under at 5 wins, by the way, for Kentucky. So, yeah, that's a big – look, I know that Mel Tucker, they said forget it, cut bait up there. Michigan State, there was also off-the-field stuff,
yeah,
the sexual harassment thing. But then you had, obviously, the Jimbo Fisher. But can Kentucky alum pass the hat and buy him out after this year?
Why you don't go nowhere. Why are you looking at me? Yes. No. look, they will. No. They will. When for all that Cal had done, they were ready to move on from Cal.
It just
– this is
– you got to support not going anywhere in March Madness.
No,
Kentucky.
It won't be a problem. And I think it probably will happen. I hope it doesn't, but I just feel like that's not going anywhere.
Brett Bielema says Georgia tampered with running back Josh McCray.
Did they?
I don't know. Is this just sour grapes from a guy or a guy like – look, Bielema is a lot of hot air there. He's a good coach. A lot of hot air. Is that just simply him trying to save face with those Illinois alumni to say, hey, man, we had this kid. I don't know. Georgia did something. During an appearance on the Triple Option podcast, Bielema implied that UGA tampered with McCray in order to get him in the portal. Mark Ingram, one of the co-hosts on the podcast, along with Rob Stone and Urban Meyer, asked Bielema to talk about his running back room, and that's he got into the subject. He says, we did lose a guy to Georgia. Somehow he found his way into the portal. And 12 hours after being in the portal, he was on a flight to Georgia. I don't know how that happened, but it's crazy. Well, I said to Carl off the air, we were looking at this story earlier, if you're in the portal, oh, you're supposed to sit in the portal for 72 hours?
How long?
No, you're in the portal and somebody sees it. Everyone's got every program has got someone watching the portal. And if you were working somebody in a contact, that's fair game, man. Georgia, you know, whether you lose out on a recruit to Miami, you know, over NIL or the portal, I think it's turnabout's fair play. Like, Bielema's not trying to poach somebody from someplace else?
Yeah, I think everybody poaches. I'm not saying specific coaches, but I just think it's the nature of what goes on.
He gives no specifics, by the way, other than somehow Georgia got their hands on it.
So here's what I would tell you guys. When a kid is apparently disgruntled and about to go into the portal, all the coaches who recruited him know, even though he didn't commit to them. So I'm at Auburn. I don't like what's going on with Hugh Freeze. I'm about to go into the portal. There's eight coaches who already know who are recruiting me previously, who've been in contact, who already know I'm about to go into the portal. That's how this whole re-recruitment thing happens, Mike, but it's no secret.
Right.
Once the kid makes it official,
right,
he's already got eight or nine guys already had been talking to him.
I just think this is Bielma trying to save some face. You know, I don't know. These SEC guys went and got him.
Yeah.
I don't know, Georgia. I don't know.
Yeah. By the way, dogs are plus 600 to go unbeaten. Bet MGM. Poof. Unbeaten plus 600.
Take a piece of that action.
Dogs plus 650 to win the national title.
Okay.
Notre Dame has the best odds at plus 400 to go 12-0, according to BetMGM.
Mm.
Interesting. We're coming back. Mike, we got an early edition of Guy Talk, and then we're going to talk to the general manager of our Atlanta Hawks. What's coming up?
Hey, man, a guy who's one of the most talented young players in baseball is also a lollygagger, and his lollygagging just got him benched. Also coming up, could you win a 400-meter hurdle with your balls hanging out? We'll find out.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Out. Coming up, guys, our first chance to speak ever with the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, Ansi Salah. He will be hanging out with us here live from State Farm Arena, where tonight, draft party for the 2025 NBA Draft. Hashtag NBA Draft. Also coming up, well, Falcons report, more information out there about what exactly are the expectations for Michael Penix Jr. Hey, Ben, I don't know if you love the movie Bull Durham like I do. I think most guys who like baseball get a kick out of it. The manager, basically, you're told by Kevin Costner, you know, hey, man, just go scare these guys, these rookies, do something. So he throws the bats in the shower. He goes, you lollygag to first. You lollygag in the field. You know, and the lolly, and Robert Wall, you know, the stand-up comedian is the bench coach. What does that make them? Lollygaggers. Well, the reason I bring up lollygagging is the biggest lollygagger right now in Major League Baseball is Pirate star O'Neill Cruz. No one debates this God-given ability this dude's got. We saw the video last week where there's a ground ball up the middle, gets to the outfield, and he completely olays it, misses it, and just stands there. And the right fielder's got to run and track it down by the warning track, get the throw in. It's just unbelievable. You're like, that didn't happen just right now, did it? Now you've got a double play ball, and he's basically loafing to first base and doesn't try to run it out.
Oh, that's bad.
A guy who's so big and athletic, he can take four strides and be down the first base.
Yeah, look, the worst thing you can do, we've seen this, right, in baseball, especially with our team, is hustle, not hustle. I'm like, I don't care what the circumstance is. Like, is there ever a reason why you shouldn't hustle? Honestly.
No.
It's never.
It's just like it's attitude, it's effort. He thought there were two outs when he hit the grounder. So he gets benched by the Pirates manager, Don Kelly, confirming that Cruz, it's a lack of energy and effort, telling the media later he thought there was two outs. So it's absolutely ridiculous. I've seen some of the stuff. The memes are going viral where it's like, man, come on, man. That's a guy that, remember we saw them playing in Pittsburgh, was it last year?
Yep.
How exciting this guy is. There's a couple of real young stars out there in baseball, but that's not how you make a name for yourself. You're making a name for yourself the wrong way. So we'll see if this dude responds or becomes a head case.
What do you think? Head case?
I mean, he's got the talent. I mean, it's one thing if you're like, hey, you're killing it. You're batting 300, but I'm stuck on the lowly Pirates. Nope. 211, 326, 410 is his split.
Mm.
His OPS is 410 with 13 home runs. So I got to be honest. It's like, whoa, man, that's kind of weak sauce, isn't it?
I think it is. I think also when you talk about these situations, and is it a defining moment for him? Like, is it this is going to define?
Do you learn from it, or do you?
That's right.
Do you get it together, or do you become a guy who's going to be on five baseball teams? Your baseball card's going to fold out, right? Hey, man. Speaking of guys that bring a little bit of a head scratching effort to a contest, and then their personal life goes off the rails, Antonio Bryant, he's broke.
What do you mean he's broke?
Apparently, he files bankruptcy, Chapter 11.
He's broke.
He's broke.
He has no money.
Apparently, that's the story.
Didn't he make a ton of money?
Yes. Over $100 million for Antonio Brown.
Goodness gracious.
Takes apparently it's all gone. So I don't know how that happens.
Where? He just blew it all?
I guess so.
You know, it's hard for me. Here's the deal. And the reason why I'm tripping about this is, guys, back in the day when we'd hear guys were broke, they didn't make this kind of money. They just didn't. If you're telling me you're an NBA guy and you get that second deal, Mike, you get a Supermax, you should never go broke. If you're in the NFL and you get to your second contract, there's no way when you're talking about $80, $90, $100 million guaranteed. The old school guys never saw that kind of money. That's why I'm tripping. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. Apparently, Chapter 11 bankruptcy filed down in Florida. He declares, Carl, after all that money that he made, which is estimated to be over $102 million in his career, he's got assets of less than $50,000.
Wow.
$3 million in debt to eight creditors, including a $1.2 million civil verdict over one of those many assaults he was alleged to have made.
Okay.
I don't know if this is where he threw the deck chairs off the balcony or if he was throwing rocks at a delivery guy. These are all things that I lost all respect I had for this guy when the way he treated Tom Brady. When Brady brought him up to New England, trying to resuscitate his career, and then gets him down to Tampa, and then subsequently starts talking something about the man's wife.
Yeah.
As Tom was going through the divorce with Giselle. I mean, that's like just classless. So, hey, man, you're a knucklehead. I mean, look, I always say, if you give me $100 million, I'm going to burn it through. But I'm going to put some away. Some away. So, I mean, you never have to do that. That's just sad. And we've seen this in all walks of life.
We have.
You see it in pop music. You see it in R&B. You see it in rock and roll. And now you see it with another guy, another athlete.
Yeah. Well, that's why some of these groups, man, let's be honest, are still touring. Like, the Stones don't have to.
No.
But some of these groups that are out there touring, you're like, why is these guys still out here? Got to make some money, man.
Hey, man, were you a pretty swift player in high school? Were
you swift? What do you mean?
You could run? Were you good 400, a good 40 speed? I mean.
Yes. Not great. I wasn't a 4.4 guy, but I had
decent
speed.
Track and field?
Yeah, track and field. We were kind of required, man. It was one of our off-season training sessions. We did track and field. I loved our years that I played and participated in track and field.
I think you gravitate to the sports you have an aptitude for. I loved hockey. I was pretty good at hockey. But, you know, okay, baseball. Football, like, all I could do was long snap. I was never fast, Carl, so track and field was always a great mystery to me.
Yeah.
That's why I would be. Other than the Olympics, that's the only time I'm going to watch.
So you know what? Our coaches used to say, even if you weren't fast, you could do the weight training and throw the shot or discus, and they'd still, it's considered training, so they'd get you in. In some way, shape, or form.
As we know, guys, our track stars, unless you win gold in a decathlon or you're the fastest man on earth, that's the only chance to get on a Wheaties box and bankroll it. Otherwise, you got to do the competitions around the world, and they've got many over in Europe, and that's where these guys tour and make, in some cases, millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Well, American hurdler Chris Robinson overcame an amazing wardrobe malfunction to win the 400-meter hurdles at the Ostrava Golden Spike meeting in the Czech Republic yesterday, breaking the tape at 48.5 seconds. The 24-year-old, about a quarter of the way down as he's going over the hurdles, all of a sudden his package springs loose from his shorts.
Oh, that's terrible.
His junk basically is sticking out, Carl, and he's got to grab it as he's going down the track.
And he still won?
And he still won the race.
Oh, no, I would have checked out. I would have been like, everybody would have understood. He kept running?
He kept running with one hand on his package. He lay on the track grinning. By the way, his best time of the season.
Yeah, because he was running with his junk out.
I guess maybe he needed to use his Johnson as a rudder. Maybe it helped him go straight down the lane. Either way, he crossed the line 600th of a second ahead of Brazilian Matheus Lima in the World Athletics Continental Tour Gold, that, as I mentioned, European Track and Field Tour. There's a video that's out there, by the way. You can see Mr. Robinson in all his glory sprinting to victory.
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
That's funny, though.
I mean, if you can do that. Some would say that Mr. Robinson, impressive that he won the race because he's got three legs. On that note, hey, I've got a story not about a Florida man, but a Wisconsin man.
Okay.
You could argue once you read the name and you see the mugshot that this guy was destined to do something stupid. A Wisconsin man seriously injures a construction worker when he crashed his van into a piece of construction equipment while allegedly high on magic mushrooms, police say. The man's name, Patches Magic Beans, 34. He was swerving and weaving on Highway 61 in Silver Creek, Minnesota, around 3:50 on June 19th. His van hits a curb and several traffic cones before barreling into one of those scissor lifts, which is being used by a pair of construction workers to fix a traffic light.
Huh.
So he gets arrested, and according to the police, he was speaking.
The police.
He was speaking incoherently, appeared intoxicated, and was babbling and hallucinating because he was grasping at objects in the air that weren't actually there.
Was he high?
Yes, apparently on mushrooms. The guy's name, Patches Magic Beans. And hold on if I can find the mugshot for you. He's a hot mess. What's your name, son? Patrick Magic Beans.
Oh.
Yeah.
These stories are incredible.
Thank you.
I would have thought it was a Florida man, by the way.
No, I didn't, but you're going to need patches, magic beads, if you're kind of destined for something like that. Meanwhile, hope the worker's going to be okay. He's in intensive care. Now, on to something Carl and I were talking about off the radio. And this is about P. Diddy. The Sean Combs trial is kind of in the final stretch. Saw the news today from the New York Daily News that the judge said, you know, too much stuff to instruct the jury. Kind of need you guys to streamline these charges. So prosecutors apparently are going to be dropping some of the charges against Sean Combs.
Oh, imagine that.
A.K.A. P. Diddy. Now, Carl and I, we kind of talked a little bit about this on the air, mostly off the air. I kind of felt this is kind of way overcharged to begin with. They're trying to create a little bit. Look. It's creepy. You can have freak-offs, and you can let people do things with your friends, and you can have all the baby oil you want. It's also legal in this country to own guns, you know, as long as you're not shooting them at somebody and not guarding your property. Prosecutors moving to drop charges of attempting kidnapping, arson, and aiding sex trafficking. He's still facing charges of sex trafficking, racketeering, and prostitution-related transport. Closing arguments begin Thursday.
The defense for Diddy did something a little bit unusual. It's happened in other cases. Certainly, when you talk about these high-profile cases,
right,
they're not calling a single witness.
Right.
So the prosecution went through 34 witnesses and interviewed all these folks.
Weeks and weeks of testimony.
And imagine you being a juror, okay, and they're showing you some of this stuff is graphic, right? You're trying to keep up with all of this and, you know, what the accusations are. And the defense goes, we're not calling anybody. We're good. We rest. And it kind of made everybody go, huh? What? Yeah, because they're full of crap.
Yeah, this is what a guy did in the privacy with consenting adults. And I know that the ex-girlfriend, we were just talking about this with Day-Day. I mean, it's if you were in an abusive relationship, and that's why, I mean, like, I've got nothing but empathy for women that get, I mean, there's no excuse for a man to put his hands on a woman in any context. But if you're still with the guy for 4 years, I'm sorry, you can't go back 3 years ago. Oh, this happened. And you stayed with the guy.
Yeah, but he's not on trial for abuse.
Correct. You're just simply one of these star blankers who's wants to stay in this orbit of a celebrity.
Yeah.
I just don't think you're going to have it both ways.
I don't have any skin in the game. For me, look, I'm like everybody else in that wheelhouse who grew up listening to his music and all that. That's fine. I don't care one way or the other. What I do care about, though, is to Mike's point, and that's been our discussion, is if you went to one of these parties and everybody's like, oh, I can't believe he was doing this, you had a choice to leave.
Right.
When you walked in and they said, hey, we need your phone and your keys or whatever the hell they were asking for, and you walked in and there was all this activity going on, you look around and you're like, oh, this is not for me. You had an opportunity to leave. You didn't do that. And I agree with you about some of the women in the accusation. So I don't know, Mike, if he's getting off, but I do think that's an interesting strategy by the defense.
Hey, man, Arthur Blank and his pal Bernie started the first two Home Depots on this day back in the day here in Atlanta.
Isn't that crazy?
That's your guide talk live from State Farm.
All right, we just got word Anse Sala, maybe he's making a deal, is going to join us at 5:20.
Okay.
5:20. Stay there. General manager for our Atlanta Hawks is on the way. We're live at State Farm Arena at Stukes and Bell.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We own the Mets right now. We are undefeated against the Mets, and we won again last night. It's Dukes and Bell. Anse Sala, the general manager of our Hawks, is going to join us at 5:20. Pushed him back just a little bit. Actually, he pushed us back because he may be working on some things. Tonight is draft night, guys, and we're down here at State Farm Arena, so we will get a chance to talk to our general manager coming up here next hour. Mike, about last night. No, I'm not talking about the movie. 7-4, a win. Olsen had 3 RBIs. Guys, we had 5 runs in the 6th inning. That was the difference in this game. But it felt like there was a lot that happened last night.
Yeah, it started off kind of slow. And it looked like it was going to be one of those games where the Braves are just going to not be able to, you know, get anything cooking and kind of, you know, just never get someone pushed across. 10 men left on base because Montas, coming after a bunch of rehab starts, this was his first start. And I don't think there was a Mets fan out there that was like, no bullpen, not the bullpen, because the Braves couldn't get anything against Montas in 5. And then Brazoban comes in and just basically does a repeat performance of the hot garbage he was at Truist, as was the rest of the Mets bullpen. Just a ton of walks and just just absolute choke city, and the Braves break things wide open.
That is what happened in that fifth inning, guys. Matter of fact, let's hear Matt Olson with that two RBI single. This was in the top of the sixth.
Olson, line drive, base hit out into right center. Two will score. Atlanta has played in five in the sixth to grab the lead.
And they blew a 3-0 lead. I mean, they had another lead in this game. Ozzie came up with a sack fly. Eli White, an RBI infield single. And then Nick Allen actually tied it at three apiece. So you had contributions up and down the lineup. But let's be honest, the end of this game, here we go again. Were you concerned? Iglesias does get Lindor to ground out for the Braves to finish this game. But, Mike, I mean, like every time now he comes out and you're like, okay, Iglesias in the ninth inning, guys. He's got nine saves and 13 chances. He did give up an RBI double. And you were like, great, here we go. Yeah. Right? You're starting to think.
I don't trust him. No. I mean, look, Dylan Lee, Dodd, or Iglesias, I mean, you can't have a – look, that does not work. You've got to have a guy, one guy. Remember what's the line? You are my number one guy. And that's not the case. So, yeah, he made you a little bit nervous. I know that you know, Braves fans, is a lot of things we've got to go get. And I don't know if there's a closer that's going to be – because, again, we're the only team looking for a better closer. But he just makes you so freaking nervous. And he always puts guys on base. And there's always a chance. It always seems like when Iglesias is out there, the tying run is always at the plate, right? Or on deck.
It feels that way.
It's like there's impending doom.
Yeah.
And last night was no different.
Here's Iglesias getting Lindor to ground out to end it.
Lindor 3-for-11 against Iglesias in his career. Iglesias needs one more strike here. He deals. Ground ball. Ozzie has it. Braves win. On the hottest night in Citi Field history, the Braves continue to cool off the New York Mets. The Mets have now lost 10 of their last 11, and the Braves have won the first two of this series.
We own them, at least right now. The good news is, guys, we're getting into these single digits. This is where we need to be. 9.5 out. Phillies are in first place in our division. We're 8 behind the Mets, 6 in the wild card. This is what Mike and I have been talking about. Let's make this reasonable. Let's get in with striking range before the All-Star break. And, Mike, real quick, I want you to hear Brian Snicker talking about, you know, the fact that you got to get two outs. And, you know, two out hits to win games. It's something we weren't doing during that losing streak. Nope. We're doing more of that now.
And it's something that we were having a hard time doing. And you have to do that. You got to get two out hits if you're going to win games. You know, they were few and far between, but now it's kind of like getting back to the way it should, you know, baseball again. And so that's big, I think, and, you know, if you're going to do anything. So.
And again, that's why, you know, a couple months back, I was all over Matt Olson for that same specific reason. You know, a lot of guys just kind of like the poster child of no clutch, you know, not be able to bring guys in. But Matt Olson has obviously gotten hot, and, you know, everything's up there now. Slugging, the RBIs last night again, 3 RBIs, 2-for-4 with a walk. You know, he's always playing great defense. So Olson and Acuna, and Acuna didn't get any hits last night, but he got on base twice with walk, stole the base, you know, and was doing his thing that way. And I just felt like if you can just get Austin Riley to be a little more consistent, he's up to 275. I know, like, good luck trying to figure out what the heck's going on with Ozzie Albies and with Money Harris, but you're seeing signs of life. And all of a sudden now, wild cards presentable. Not that Alex wasn't going to try to go all in, but now further ammunition for Alex Anthopoulos to go get some pieces.
Yeah, and look, I just feel like it would have been hard for us to fuss. And it's not, we're not there yet, but again, if you're 12, 14, 18 games out, it's hard for you to say, hey, our general manager needs to do something.
Right.
We are within striking range to say, hey, we're viable, and this is where we need to be.
Oh, honorable mention that I said it on Twitter last night, the plucky little Nick Allen grabbed an RBI last night, going 3-for-4. So, I mean, all of a sudden now everybody was contributing last night. Ozzie even got a sack. Ozzie even got a baseball call to go farther than 200 feet and had a sack fly last night.
I mentioned it. Infield single for Eli White. That was a big play, man. I mean, look, you're getting these contributions. That's what you need up and down the lineup. Meanwhile, tonight, well, we get a chance to see the kid again. All right. Denier Fuentes. No, look, Mike, I mean, like, this is the injury to our stud, I guess our ace, right? And you're throwing in a 20-year-old kid who's now making his second major league start against the Mets on the road. I think he's got really good stuff. We talked about it. But can he get the run support tonight? I would love to tell you guys that we are going to sweep these guys and this is going to be one of the best series we've had all season. But this has been a really good start. And the Mets just don't have any answers right now. They're struggling, man. And for us, I don't give a damn. That's a them problem.
Right.
We're doing our jobs, and this is what we're saying. Hey, let's keep it going. Let's hopefully build on some of these at-bats for these guys. But I want to see what the kids got tonight.
Yeah, man. And the Mets are reeling. They're, you know what's being set up there in New York. They know that fat little maniac for Barstool that goes fix out. I'm just – by the way, that's just such a performance. It's like – it's come on. I mean – it just, he just throws a switch. And, the Mets, I know they're going to lose. Now, who wants to see that? I've seen enough of that knucklehead. But the Mets and the media in New York, they're crushing him. The pitching's been brutal. Dickey, by the way, see Dickey got in the game last night.
Dickey, the guy you talked about yesterday.
Yeah, we talked about it. And where are we going to see this dude? And, yeah, Dickey Lovelady comes in. It looked good for the first inning. Not so good his second inning of work. But, yeah, the Mets bullpen has been brutal. And I thought, you know, the way Strider handled it, we talked about Strider shouting at Juan Soto to basically sit his butt down. He was arguing a ball, a strike call on a third strike. Strider yelling at him, the pitches down the middle. So, yeah, a little bit of edge and attitude, man. And, hey, the Mets are one thing. Now, can you do this against the Phillies?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, right? I don't know. We're gonna see. The reason why we're winning all these games is pretty simple. We've outscored them. I'm talking about the Mets 27-11. That's the difference. Forget about all this other stuff. When we weren't hitting and we're not scoring runs, we're not beating teams. And when you have done that against the Mets in these five games that we've played them already, that is why we're 5-0 so far.
What do you do with Money Harris?
I don't know. Skip Snitker said that he's okay. Got hit by a pitch. He's fine, I guess. I don't know, Mike.
Because some folks said, I don't know. You don't want to wish an injury, but some guys say maybe it's a good time for a mental health break.
Well, maybe.
But I don't think Snicker's going to handle it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think sometimes we feel that way, and they feel like, I'm talking about, you know, managers and certainly the front office, just keep running him out there. Like, he'll find his way out of it. Just like Matt Olson did, right? Just like, right. Like we're seeing Riley. Some of these guys come alive. They're going to find their way out of it.
But we talked about it with Grant yesterday. The numbers, when you do the deep dive on him, I've always felt that Money Harris swings at the first pitch, but never going deep in a count. You know, it's just kind of crazy. It's just, Ozuna last night, if anything, he did contribute with working the counts in a couple of,
and
just kind of contributing to getting, you know, the pitcher for the Mets, who was actually pretty doing a pretty good job, in Montas, out of there. So sometimes you can succeed in the big picture without even getting the hit, but just by doing a better job of being a professional hitter at the plate.
Yeah, look. I think he's trying to do everything he can to work on his swing, the timing, taking more pitches. He's just not seeing the results. And that is the biggest issue for us right now is, I'm not going to tell you that Money Harris is not working to try to be better at these at-bats, but we're just not seeing the results, man. And you're asking a serious question right now. I asked the two guys right now, and you mentioned Ozzie and you made fun, but we can because he's just not been hitting. But the two guys are Ozzie and Money.
Right.
And if we're really going to take off, like for real, they got to help. The bottom of the lineup cannot be this empty hole, Mike.
Right, and here's the thing. It's when we talk about the trades, you got to give something somebody wants. You know, Marcell Ozuna, he's got that veteran. He's got the 10-5. He's been in the Major League Baseball. He qualifies to have basically a yay or a nay on a trade.
Right.
He can decline the trade. He can refuse it. So that's why when I keep pushing the idea of, you know, moving on from Sean Murphy, because there's somebody who'll give you something for Sean Murphy. You can't trade Ozzie. You know, you can't. There's no intrinsic value for Ozzie right now. Same thing goes for Money Harris, unless a team looks at him and says, "Hey, I can fix him," like the crazy girlfriend. I can fix him. So that's why I just keep going back to, you know, to Sean Murphy. If Baldwin can, you know, do his thing. Baldwin last night, he did get two walks. He's batting .288. We know he's cooled off. But if you're going to think about moving anybody, like, I don't think Alex is going to trade Sean Murphy, but man, I would, because you don't have anybody else really to trade that's going to get you anything.
Yeah, look. I feel the same way, but if we're trending in the right direction, I think he'll be less prone to do it. If we are, again, 14 games out, I think there might be much more of a possibility.
Look, and if Rick Baldwin does have that sort of Austin Riley, was it like a remember when Austin had that sort of swoon where figured him out early in his career? Yeah, that's going to crush us in a pennant race if, you know, if Murphy can't bring his .220 to the plate, you know, because he does occasionally, you know, hit with a runner in scoring position.
Hey man, we got a lot more to dive into. Falcon Report is on the way. We're going to talk to Anse Sala, general manager for our Atlanta Hawks. Coming up 5:20, so 20 minutes from now.
Is he working on a deal right now, Joe?
He might be, and you might hear it first here on this radio station. When we come back, though, you're going to get mad. I'm guaranteeing you, you're going to get upset. Stay there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.